from the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. In our series, The Night Themes of Scripture, we come this evening to number 17. And here we have a night involving the prophet Jonah. Jonah was not a very happy man. Indeed, he had become very self-centered and a very bitter individual. We see that from the opening verse. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He became a bitter individual. Bitterness is something which the Apostle Paul told the Hebrew believers to diligently guard against. In Hebrews 12 and verse 14, Apostle Paul says in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. These words of Paul are a reference to the words found in Deuteronomy 29. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. And here the Lord says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord, our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. These words reveal to us how a bitter spirit can develop in the heart and in the mind of an individual. We notice here from the words of Deuteronomy in Hebrews how this root of bitterness is formed. This root of bitterness was formed when people turned away from the Lord their God, or as Paul has put it in Hebrews, they feel of the grace of God. In other words, they do not show any evidence of the grace of God in their lives. Instead of grace, there is bitterness. So when the Christian turns away from following the Lord, his heart then becomes fertile soil for the root of bitterness to be formed and to begin to grow there. Turning away from the Lord, they soon forget the humble, gentle, meek and loving spirit of the one they once followed and the one that they wanted to be like. For having the root of bitterness formed in the heart leaves an individual very unlike the Savior. The Lord Jesus never spoke a bitter word, never had a bitter thought against any individual. And so, as we read here in Deuteronomy 29 and 18, when an individual turns away from the Lord, there is then opportunity for that root of bitterness to be formed in the heart. I want you to notice how not only is this root is formed, but how it flourishes. Once the root of bitterness takes hold of an individual's heart, it spreads. A person with a bitter spirit cannot contain it. They will not be able to contain their bitterness, for that bitterness that they have in their heart will affect others. That thought is here in our verse in Deuteronomy. The Lord speaks about man or woman or family or tribe. And so a bitter spirit that began in one person, in a man or a woman, can affect the family, or in this case also a whole tribe. Paul acknowledges this also in Hebrews 12 and 15. Lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When someone has a bitter spirit, it's not too long before they reveal their bitterness that they have in their heart toward an individual. They may speak to somebody else about that individual that they are bitter towards. And that individual is stained, as the word means, defiled. That individual is then stained as well. And he is prejudiced against that person. So we can see how it spreads. A root of bitterness will flourish. You cannot stunt its growth. Bitterness will flourish and affect others. And then we notice not only how it is formed and how it flourishes, but we notice also its fruit. This is a fruit-bearing root. This root of bitterness. What does the verse say in Deuteronomy 39, verse 18? Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth. Here's the fruit of this root of bitterness. A root that beareth gall and wormwood. The translation in the margin for the word gall reads a poisonous or poisonful herb. This gall is poisonous. Paul emphasizes the same bitter truth about this root, saying in Hebrews, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, or as we've said, many be stained. It's a poisonous root. Believer, the root of bitterness is poisonous, according to the Lord Himself. No wonder then the apostle told the Hebrew believers to be careful, to be diligent, to be watchful, lest this poisonous root spring up in their hearts. Unfortunately, Jonah was not a diligent individual. Unfortunately, Jonah was not watchful. He was not as watchful and diligent as he should be, because the servant of the Lord became very bitter. And that root of bitterness began to form in his heart. And it flourished, and it brought forth fruit, poisonous fruit. Dear child of God, may we ever be diligent and watchful and guard against all forms of bitterness against a brother or a sister in the Lord. May we be watchful and guard against this root, this poisonous root, being formed and growing and developing in our hearts. Let us learn then from Jonah. Because the Lord taught Jonah a lesson. And He taught Jonah this lesson in one night. And that night, the Lord gave Jonah bitter medicine. And it was bitter medicine for a bitter man. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the night of Jonah's complaining and bitterness. The Lord dealt in mercy with the people of Nineveh. They had repented of their sin. They had mourned over their sin in sackcloth and ashes. And because of their turning from their evil ways, the Lord stayed His hand of judgment, which He had threatened to bring down upon them. And the salvation of the Ninevites did not please Jonah. Look there with me again at verse 1. You read the verse 10 of the previous chapter. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Here we have then Jonah's problem. It was after Jonah had gone into the city of Nineveh and cried against it, declaring that in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was after Jonah had gone into the city that Jonah's problem began. Here we have the problem identified. The problem identified. Why was Jonah so bitter? It is clear that Jonah really didn't want the city to be spared, because he and his kinsfolk were Jews. The Ninevites were Gentiles. He was jealous for his own nation and his own people. And he couldn't bear to think that God would have mercy on the heathen, upon the Gentiles. Jonah was prejudiced and made it clear that he was against the Gentiles ever being given an opportunity to repent and be delivered. Besides this, he had been offended. Jonah had been offended. Who offended him? In the mind of Jonah, the Lord had offended him. He had been offended by the Lord because he had told the Ninevites that in 40 days they would be overthrown, and they weren't. Instead, the Lord intervened and saved the Ninevites. And this offended Jonah. There Jonah had gone into the city, pronounced the judgment of God upon them, and lo and behold, the judgment of God didn't come, and Jonah was offended. And having been offended, the root of bitterness began to grow. And his bitterness was against the Lord. For when the Lord delivered the Ninevites, we read, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Who was he angry with? The Lord. Jonah had been offended. Isn't that how the root of bitterness is allowed to grow in the heart? Isn't that where it has started, in the heart and in the mind of many Christians over the years? Some brother or sister feels they've been offended by something that somebody said, and they're all offended. And the root begins to form. That poisonous root of bitterness begins to form, and they're not willing to overlook the offense. They're not willing to disregard the offense, no. From that moment on, they hold spite against the individual because they've been offended. And as the days go by and the months go by, the root grows and grows and grows. The root of bitterness grows, and it is in the heart. That's the problem. It is in the heart where the bitterness takes root. Would you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 8? Turn to Acts chapter 8. And there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. Acts 8 and 20. But Peter said unto him, this is Simon, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart, Peter said, is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. The bitterness was in the heart. That root begun to form in the heart. And Peter said to Simon, I perceive that thou art not right with God. And where the root of bitterness grows up in the heart of a Christian, we must say that Christian is not right with God. On the grounds of what Peter has said. And so, believer, when the root of bitterness begins to form in our own hearts, let's remember the Lord Jesus. Let's not look to the one who has offended us, but let us look to the Lord Jesus, the one who never offends us. And remember that He, at all times, no matter what was said about Him, no matter what was said to Him, was always meek and lowly of heart. We're so unlike Him, aren't we? The problem identified, but then we notice Jonah's problem intensified. Notice the wording of verse 1 again. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. And, so this was added to the displeasure of Jonah. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. The word angry there means to burn. At first he was displeased exceedingly, then he burned with anger. The root of bitterness was growing. He wasn't just displeased, but he was displeased exceedingly. He wasn't just displeased exceedingly, but he became very angry. See? The root of bitterness is growing. It's flourishing. And now Jonah is burning with anger. And again, remember, his anger is against the Lord. He's angry with the Lord. As we read there in Deuteronomy 29:18, when Israel would turn away from the Lord and go after other gods, then that root of bitterness would grow up in her hearts. You can say here that Jonah has turned away from the Lord because he's bitter with the Lord. Instead of a sweet spirit filling his heart, Jonah had become as bitter as gall. Listen to what Matthew Henry says, and said upon this matter, quote, so hard is it to get a root of bitterness plucked out of the mind when once it is fastened there. So hard is it to get a root of bitterness plucked out of the mind when once it is fastened there. The best cure or remedy is not to allow it to grow there in the first place. That's why Paul exhorted the Hebrew believers to be diligent. Would you turn with me, please, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Paul says to the believers in Ephesus, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, bitterness in the heart of a Christian will grieve the Holy Ghost. Paul says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And this was the lesson that the Lord was going to teach Jonah that night. Dear Christian, let us learn the lesson too. Take to heart the words of Paul to the believers in Ephesus and to the Hebrew believers also. For if this root of bitterness is allowed to grow, it will eventually consume the individual. If you neglect a garden, in no time at all it is overrun with weeds. You'll not see the flowers. The whole garden's covered with weeds. The same will happen with the heart. If we neglect to weed the garden, as it were, of any root of bitterness, not but too long before the heart is overrun. And the individual is consumed with bitterness. Unfortunately, Jonah was not walking in the bright sunshine of grace. Instead, he was walking in the dark night of gall. So we have his problem. Next, we have his prayer. Now you would think that someone who was as angry as Jonah would not pray at all. But he did. Verses 2 and 3. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. There's the prayer of Jonah. Many things we could learn about Jonah from these words. We see immediately that Jonah brought his anger into the prayer meeting too. Jonah brought his anger into his praying. See what we said before? You cannot disguise this bitterness. Before long it'll become very evident. It was evident here in Jonah. For we have here, first of all, his complaint. Really, Jonah would have been better not praying at all. We must say that. Jonah would have been better not praying at all while he was in this bitter spirit. For he needn't have expected any tokens of God's favor while he was in this gall of bitterness. But then a bitter spirit is a complaining spirit. No matter what the offender does, the one who feels he's been offended will always see plenty to complain about. Jonah complains to the Lord. He prayed and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my own country. I knew this would happen. He's complaining to the Lord. He knew the Lord would save the Ninevites. But then you notice his condemnation. Notice how Jonah condemned himself in this prayer. For we read in that first verse, he was very angry. And yet he confessed to the Lord that he says, Thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. In other words, Jonah's words condemned himself. He was very angry, and he was praying to the God whom he confessed was slow to anger. He was so unlike his Lord. He was so unlike his Master. Dear Christian, when we burn with anger, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And when we burn with anger, we condemn ourselves. But then you have his confusion. We cannot understand this attitude and behavior of God's servant. Can any of us? Can any one of us tonight understand why a servant of God, an evangelist, would be angry with God because God saved souls? It's all very confusing. But then, believer, when we think of it, when someone has the root of bitterness developing inside their heart and growing, then they have a distorted view of everything. Jonah had a distorted view of Nineveh. Instead of rejoicing that the Ninevites had got saved, instead of rejoicing, he's angry. Instead of rejoicing, he's displeased. It's all very confusing. And so it is with the one who's in the gall of bitterness. They do not see things right. They have a distorted view of everything, as it was with Jonah. Then we notice his perception. In his prayer, Jonah reveals his perception of the whole matter. Verse 2, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You look at those words of Jonah. And as far as Jonah was concerned, he did the right thing. He's telling the Lord, this is why I fled to Tarshish. That's his perception of the whole thing. In other words, we have Jonah here justifying his sin. He's justifying his sin. And when a believer becomes bitter against a brother or sister in the Lord, they try to solve their conscience by justifying their bitterness. They try to justify it. They will say, well, if you had the same thing done to you that I had done to me, you'd be bitter too. And so they justify their behavior. But that's not true. Samuel had hurtful things said about him. Did Samuel become better? No, he didn't. He was sorely hurt and displeased by what the elders in Israel had said about him. But he didn't allow it to develop into bitterness. As we noted this morning, he took the matter to the Lord and was able to go out and carry out the work the Lord had given him to do. David didn't allow the actions of Saul to make him bitter. Saul had gone out after David a number of occasions and tried to take his life. David didn't become bitter, in fact. On occasions David could have taken Saul's life. But he didn't. And when he heard of Saul's death, David wept. So we cannot justify our behavior if we become bitter. And you think of the Savior who had many hurtful things said about him. He didn't become bitter. And so with us, let us follow the teachings of our Savior. In Matthew 5, verse 44, the Lord said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." That's what the Lord tells us to do. You have the night of Jonah's complaint and bitterness. You have the night of Jonah when he was challenged about his bitterness. In verse 4, we read, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Notice it came in the form of a question. The Lord wasn't commending Jonah for being angry. He was challenging him. And he said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" First of all, let us take note of this, that Jonah was aware of his bitterness. He was aware of his bitterness because, remember, he's the author of the book. Jonah writing about himself. And he's telling us how he felt. And he's confessing, he's admitting to his bitterness. He's aware of it. Unfortunately, the one who is aware of the bitterness that exists in his own heart is not the only one who's aware of it. As we read in Proverbs 14, verse 10, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and others know it too." Did we read there in those words in Acts chapter 8? In Acts 8, and verse 21, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Peter was aware of it. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Peter was aware of it. So it is with the true child of God. When once there was evidence of the joy of the Lord in his heart, whenever he gets into the gall of bitterness and the root of bitterness grows in his heart, he's aware of it. He's aware that he has become bitter. And like Jonah, he may even try to justify it. You have his attitude to his bitterness. We find in the chapter that Jonah was bitter against the Lord over a number of things, and his response to each was the same. For in verse 3, he says, "For it is better for me to die than to live." In verse 8, at the end of the verse, "It is better for me to die than to live." He hadn't overcome his bitterness, but allowed it to overcome him, so much so that he wanted to withdraw from the scene. We see that Jonah was angry with the Lord. He was angry with life, and he had no desire to labor anymore. When someone becomes bitter, they tend to do that. You read there of Jonah, verse 5, "He went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city." He went out and sat there alone. And someone becomes bitter, they want to be alone. They want to withdraw from the fellowship of God's people. They just want to have done with everything. See, the root of bitterness has overcome them, as it overcame Jonah. He was aware of his bitterness. He had his attitude in his bitterness. And then he was asked about his bitterness. The Lord asked him. The Lord said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Question mark. Same again in verse 8, or verse 9. "Doest thou well, Jonah, to be angry?" The Lord was challenging Jonah. The Lord might have justly taken Jonah's life for his attitude, his anger against the Lord. The Lord could easily have cut Jonah down there and then, given him his wish. But he dealt with him in grace and in mercy. Instead, he wanted to teach him a lesson. The first thing he does, "Jonah, do you believe you're doing well to be angry?" That's what the words mean. The Lord was saying to Jonah, "Jonah, do you believe it's right that you're angry in this way? Do you believe it's right that you're in the gall of bitterness? Do you believe it's right?" When we think the root of bitterness is growing up in us, we're becoming bitter against a brother and sister in the Lord, we should ask ourselves the question, is this right? Do I do well to be bitter? Is this what the Lord would have me to do and have me to be? You notice that by the time we get to verse 9, Jonah's still bitter. The Lord asked him in verse 3, "Doest thou well," or verse 4, "Doest thou well to be angry?" We find in verse 9, he's still bitter. Hasn't learned the lesson yet. That now leads us to the night Jonah was chastened about his bitterness. The Lord continued to deal with Jonah in compassion and grace. He chastens him in the night, which was evidence of the Lord's love for Jonah, because he only chastens those whom he loves. He didn't allow Jonah to continue on in this frame of mind. Here Jonah wished he was dead. What a way to go into the presence of the Lord. With such a bitter spirit. But here we see the Lord chastening Jonah. First of all, we see the Lord working with Jonah. The Lord wanted to teach Jonah a lesson, and he did it by giving him an object lesson. just like a teacher teaching a child. Jonah was behaving like a child. So what did the Lord do? We read in verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Mark the words now. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Then in the same night, we read, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. It all happened in a night. Here's the object lesson. What did the Lord use to teach Jonah this lesson? He used two small things. He used a gourd and a worm. The gourd was a plant with broad leaves that would have given Jonah shelter. We all know what a worm is. And the Lord was using these things to turn Jonah's heart. And you know, believer, sometimes the Lord teaches us in a similar fashion. Someone who is the gall of bitterness. Maybe they're stricken down with a serious illness. And they're on the edge of death. But the Lord in mercy raises them up. And they suddenly have a different view of life. And they suddenly get things into perspective. And they suddenly think about that bitter spirit they had against that brother or that offense. And they begin to think to themselves, it wasn't really so important after all. What is that offense compared to my life? And the Lord can use little things. Escape maybe from an accident. Maybe someone else was killed in the accident, but that individual escaped. And they have a whole different view in life. Little things. And the thing that offended them really wasn't such a big thing at all. And they realize that life is more important than home and family and children and grandchildren. These things are more important than holding spite, than being bitter against an individual. Lord sometimes has to teach us lessons. You have the Lord working with Jonah. You have the Lord's word to Jonah. Jonah, we are told, was exceeding glad of the gourd. This was a temporary shelter the Lord had given to him, and it cheered him. But the same night the Lord took the shelter away, which did not please Jonah. The Lord then spoke to Jonah and rebuked him because he wanted the gourd spared. Jonah wanted the gourd spared. But he didn't want the people of Nineveh spared. It was the object lesson. And the Lord was saying to Jonah, you got bitter. Because I spared the inhabitants of the city of Nineveh. You should have been happy. You should have rejoiced. And what are you rejoicing in? You're rejoicing in things that don't matter. You're rejoicing in a plant. You're rejoicing in a gourd. And you couldn't rejoice in the salvation of souls. The Lord said to Jonah, verse 11, "And should not I spare Nineveh and the great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Thou hast had pity on the gourd," the Lord said, "for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow. It came up in the night and perished in the night." But you couldn't have any pity on the people of Nineveh. That would have got things into perspective for Jonah. Here he was, rejoicing over the gourd that he had only had for a few hours in the night. But he couldn't rejoice over the salvation of souls. Jonah, which is more important? Which is more important? The Lord had a word with Jonah. And then you have the Lord's winning of Jonah. I believe that to be the case, because the book ends with a question. There's the question mark at the end of the book, and there's no response from Jonah. That's where the book ends. Jonah had nothing more to say. I believe the Lord won over Jonah. And the root of bitterness was plucked out. And Jonah was now back to where he should be with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord has to teach us better lessons. In this case, it was bitter medicine for a bitter man. But the medicine did him good, and he was healed of his bitterness. Let's bow our heads in prayer.